God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning.
God is very present here today, not that he isn't at other times. He's here all the time, but maybe this morning we're more aware of his presence. If you need a miracle today in your life, I want you to just close your eyes for this moment. We'll turn to the Bible in a minute. I want you to pray for that which you need, whether it's your husband, your wife, your son, an illness. It's something that, oh God, if only you could answer this prayer. I want you to pray that prayer right now. Let's pray, Lord. Answer. Hear our prayer. Lord, you can do this. We believe today, finally, that you can do this. Lord, answer our prayer. This we pray, believing in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. Turn their Bibles to Daniel chapter 9, please. As you're turning there, we pray every Wednesday. We've been praying for Roger Lilley. He had cancer, and the doctor's report says, now Roger, the cancer is all gone. That's amazing. Praise the Lord. Roger's been through some difficult times with his health. And this, the Lord is working on Roger's heart. Keep him in your prayers. This morning, the title of this morning's message is, I Choose to Pray Today. I pray that the Spirit of God will truly touch your soul this morning. There is a great need in our world today. There's a great need in our nation. You see it right now. There's a desperate need in this church, Calvary Chapel, Secret Harbor, this morning. But there is the greatest need in your life, you sitting here today, in your soul, right this moment in your life, no matter your age, your marriage condition, whatever, the length of time you've been with the Lord, whether this morning you don't even know the Lord, God is going to speak to you. He's going to tell you there's a great need right now. As a young boy or a girl, those have gone into the room or some city with their parents, whether you're 4 years old or more, you young teens sitting here today, single young men and women, husbands, wives, mothers and fathers, that need is for you to choose to pray from this moment on in your life, this day. From this moment on in your life. Our world is dying. It's not climate control. It's sin unleashed. Since Genesis 5, people began to die. But our world is dying. Our nation is crumbling. Our politicians, we've seen what's happened with lives and pregnancies and adultery and fornication. And it's impacted our community, our nation, like never before. Yet these things have happened previously. Not new. But we're at a time in our nation's history, in our life, in the timeline of the Bible. And at this time, the church is lacking in power. It's seen as a club where events happen. It's more like a circus, a show. You turn up, you have a nice day, you have a nice event, program for this. We can cook Christian cooking, Christian football, Christian surfing, Christian this. None of those things in and of themselves are wrong. But the very purpose and passion of the church, which is the sinners saved by grace, coming before a holy God, giving thanks, hearing from Him, their lives change, marriages change, men change from drunks into loving husbands, women changed from being selfish into loving and caring mothers, respectful wives. God is calling you, as He did with young Samuel, 4 years of age, to hear Him. You young boys and girls, God is looking for another David. He's looking for a Mary. Mary, mother of Jesus, was 12 to 16 years, maybe 14 years of age. He's looking for Mary who would say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, Lord. Young teenage girls who would give themselves to the Lord, not become nuns, but who would give themselves to the Lord, who would live in purity, who would live chaste, who would live and long for church and to teach children and to be grow into women of God. Young teens, you. God is looking for Jeremiah's. Jeremiah was about 15 years of age, if that 14. And God called him to be a prophet to the nation of Israel. He's looking for Daniel's. Daniel taking from Israel to Babylon. And there, even though away from family, friends, away from the temple, away from the worship of God, there he lived a righteous teenage life. Not influenced by the world, he influenced the world. We're looking for Andrews. Andrews, the young brother of Peter, who said, Peter, come on, I found the Lord. We need you young kids to go and get your friends at school, your sports friends, and say, you need to come to church with me. You need to come to the youth group with me. You need to come and find the Christ, the God that I found. You need Him in your life because I found Him and I'll show you where to find Him. Mums and dads, God is desperate for Abraham's. What did Abraham do? He would talk to his son about God, whether they're seated, walking, sleeping. He would just tell his son, his child, about the things of God. Looking for Sarah's. Sarah's who would be women of God married, who would reflect a loving relationship with their husband, who would be loving mothers, who would be examples to other women how to love their husbands, to care for the children, to worship their God. We are in a moment in history like never before. We are on the verge, the edge of a period in church prophecy that Jesus said this world has never experienced or will ever experience ever again. The rapture is imminent. It's going to happen any moment. Nothing else needs to happen. It's ready. It's the next event in biblical prophecy. The Great Tribulation will follow once the rapture has occurred, and 7 years of this world judgment of God, this world has never seen or, Jesus said, will ever experience before, except those days be shortened, even the elect would not make it through. The Antichrist, I don't know who he is, I'll never find out, is walking the earth today. He's obviously around, he's ready. We don't know who he is, but the scene is so close that he's got to be alive and ready. It's not time, but it's close. There has never been a period like this for the urgency of you to pray, to choose to pray now. Why, even this past week, I was listening intently, I couldn't believe it, to our local media, the discussion, the possibility, and the soon to be reality of us going to a complete cashless society very soon. The Bible predicted that would be one of the signs of the last of the last of the last days, the final hour. Written by Apostle John in the book of Revelation. It's going to happen sooner than later in our own nation. Father, I pray as we teach through Daniel today that, Lord, not my words, but that your Spirit will speak to our hearts, that our ears will hear, that nothing will be a distraction. People won't be moving, distracting to others, but that your word will have free reign and that your Holy Spirit will get through the crustiness of our lives, the noise that's been in our ears that will just hear your voice and nothing else. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Daniel has been reading the Bible. We find ourselves in Daniel chapter 9. He's been reading the Bible, the prophecy of Jeremiah, which Jeremiah had written in 597 BC, telling them this message, and I'll read it to you. Jeremiah 25, 8 to 12. This is what Daniel has been reading. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, speaking of Israel, against its inhabitants, against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, a hissing, and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp, all the good things we're going to stop in Israel. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years, he says. This is the prophecy leading up that happened that Daniel found himself actually in, prophesied by Daniel, by Jeremiah. Then it will come to pass when the 70 years are completed, when they're finished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. Then in Jeremiah 29:10, Daniel read, for thus says the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. God would return to the people of Israel and perform my good work toward you in causing you to return home, to go back to Israel. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected then. Then you shall call upon, you'll pray at that time. You shall go and pray unto me at that time, and I will listen to you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, says the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place where I caused you to be carried away captive. There are three significant nines in the Old Testament. Each of them contain a similar nature. Chapter 9s, Ezra 9, Nehemiah 9, and Daniel 9. And in each instant, a servant of God is on their knees before the Word of God, praying and interceding for the people of God. We're going to pull apart this prayer today. Why is it important to us? One, the prompting of prayer. What happened? In verse 1, it says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Remember, this is a period of massive upheaval, not only in Babylon with the overthrow of the Babylonian kingdom by the Medes and the Persians, but a massive upheaval in Daniel's life. He's been taken as a kid from Israel. He's been placed in Babylon. Then Babylon, here, he comes, becomes a friend of King Nebuchadnezzar. And during that time, he has these visions that God gives him. And now it's towards the end. It's the 67th year that they've been in Babylon. And Daniel's been reading the Bible. And he says, it's time. We're about to go home. It's nearly the end. So what did Daniel do when things around him were undergoing tremendous change? He buries himself in the Word of God. If change is going through your life, maybe you've lost your job, maybe an illness has changed what you can and can't do, maybe there's been a breakdown in a relationship in your life, what do? Do you just throw yourself out into the world and look for counselors? Because there's a multitude of counselors in the world and they're all giving you rubbish. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that we have a counselor, that he's wonderful. He's the Prince of Peace. God's Word is where you need to bury yourself right now in your life. If there's chaos in your life, it's there that you'll find, as we sang, the GPS. God's Word will set your bearings. It'll be like the stars, and God will guide your life. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge what God's going to tell you, and He'll direct your path. He buries himself in the Word of God. It's a great place. In particular, he's in the prophet Jeremiah. It is most noteworthy that Bible reading and prayer stand or fall together. If your prayer life is lacking, grab the Bible, yep, that thing that you carry around, you have a dozen of them at home, you've been given one for your birthday, been given one for Christmas, your kids have even written in it, Dad, here's the Bible, Mom, here's the Bible, your husband's bought you one, it's a beautiful thing, you need to turn it from a beautiful thing into a working book. It needs to have coffee stains. It needs to have food stains, cereal stains. It needs to be dirty from being in the car. It needs to be crumpled up from being in your purse or under your arm. It needs to be battered and worn. It needs to be the thing that you live your life by. Grab the Bible. Give yourself to a steady, quiet, reflective reading through a book. Don't get a box of cards and read the verse of the day. Nothing wrong in and of those things themselves, but you need the Bible. You start at the beginning of the book. Don't start at 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Start where God, where do you want me to go? Genesis is a great place. But then don't just try and trail yourself through. Go to the Gospel of Mark. It's the quickest one. Go to the Gospel of John. It's the one most depth. Go to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Read those. Read the book of Daniel. Read the book of Revelation. The first book I read in the Bible was the book of Revelation. Loved it. And as you give yourself to steady, quiet, reflective reading through a book, what will happen as you read, you know, I need to pray about it. You'll be directed to pray. You'll pray and read at the same time. The Holy Spirit will gently lead you. I need to pray for this in my life. That's me. I need to pray for my husband for this area. I need to pray for my son. This is him. This word would be good for him. Lord, help him to know this. Guide him. The scripture grabbed Daniel's heart as he knew from Jeremiah that the 70 years were nearly up for the period of captivity in Babylon. Daniel now is about 90 years of age. He's stirred in his heart as he reads this prophecy, and he acknowledged that the time is at hand. It's time. Now, Daniel is a praying man. The Bible tells us he prayed 3 times a day, just like you would do in Israel when he was living there. His clock, his world was not set by the things around you, by your work or by your sport. His clock, his calendar was run by God, and so should yours be. And Daniel is a praying man, but now Daniel's going to pray differently. He's going to increase. He's changing what he's praying for. We read before that he would pray and give thanks. Now he's praying something really specific. Daniel 9 tells us. He begins to pray. I think it's one of the most amazing prayers in the Bible. I read it often. It is said that when a man or woman of God believes the promises of God, his or her faith becomes active, not passive. Faith always draws you to the believing one, believing God. So we've had the promptings of the prayer. Daniel read, it's time, this is going to happen. That prompted him to pray. Now the pursuit of prayer. We read verse 1, verse 2, now verse 3. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. A lot of adjectives there, adverbs as well. It is said that Daniel set his face unto the Lord. Now, Daniel always went to the window, opened his window, and he set his face towards the temple. He's setting his face not only just to the temple. God, he says, I need you. I need your face. This is not just me praying to the temple. I need to see your face. I need to get closer to you. He set his face unto the Lord. This is the prayer time I'd like to see happen in our church eventually, that on a Wednesday, it's not directed the way that we pray, which we do sometimes at the moment, but eventually you just feel led to come in here and kneel and pray. You just pray. That's what a prayer meeting should be about, isn't it? You just pray. Not a time to catch up and talk, but you come and pray. And then you might be led to pray for the person near you. You might be led to pray for something else, but you come to church to pray. God said, Jesus said that his house would be what? A house of prayer. All symbols. Now, when notice it says with Daniel's prayer that it was accompanied by fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Daniel set his face to the Lord. This was a prayer with passion. This is not, now I lay me down to sleep, thank the Lord my soul to keep. Don't pray that way. Don't bother getting your words out. They're just going to bounce off the roof. Unless you're praying, unless it's got heart in it, it's just words. You might as well wipe your face because it's just dribble. Notice this prayer. It says that Daniel's prayer was accompanied by fasting, sackcloth, and ashes, all symbols of deep repentance, devotion, and humility. This is soul praying. This is soul praying. Fasting helps to keep the mind uncluttered by everyday matters. It also reminds those who practice it that even the food that we are given is a gift from God. We don't take it for granted. Even the meal on our table, we give thanks. We set it aside for a time of prayer because we know God's given us this. I'm going to set aside what He has given me this moment, and I'm going to set my heart to pray at this period. You miss a meal here. Miss this time or whatever, because you have a passion and a desire to pray. Secondly, to wear sackcloth speaks of the removing of your everyday garments and replacing them with coarse cloth to remind us that prayer was not to think about and be involved in the comforts of good clothing, which are a right and due reward. But now we're in a moment that nothing is, we're just here for prayer. You know, it's interesting that we watch as you come to church and you would see people running and jogging and everything's about what they wear now. It's active wear. Everyone's into, you know, you run, you might walk at three miles in 3 weeks, but you've got active wear on. You've got the best runners and you've got all this gear and all this sort of stuff. And then when you go to the gym, you've got to have this and that, this and that. What we need when we pray is to have our hearts clothed with humility. Ashes were put on the head as a token of grief. You remember Job did it. And since Daniel truly grieved over his sins, he says, Lord, I come to you. And I don't come to you as, look at me, I'm a king's kid. Look how great I am. Oh, man, I'm the Christian of all Christians. I'm the best. He came humbly, reverently. It's something that's missing in church today, isn't it? I love going into the old churches. You know why? Because when you walk in, you go, ooh. You sense. This is not a place to run around. And you say, oh, no, but church should be comfortable. There's a time and a place for everything. And when we gather to worship God, this becomes holy ground. Daniel is grieving as he's praying. The Bible says, Jesus said, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Do we come arrogantly? Oh, Lord, you know I need to love people more and there's a couple of people that I don't get on with. No, you can't stand those people. God knows that. We can't come and put a snow job on God. We can't say, oh, we're not getting on. Me and my husband aren't getting on. No, we're fighting like crazy. We're at the edge, Lord. You see, we need to come to God with a reverent, with a broken and a contrite spirit, it says. Then we're ready to hear. And then we're ready to pray. They are all outward marks of an inward contrition that Daniel had, a penitence of his heart. Daniel's the prime minister. He lays aside his earthly positional clothing to take his rightful positional clothing before God. Sackcloth. It's time to pray like never before. This is different. Daniel's praying. It's different now. This is a different prayer. What drove Daniel to pray this prayer? That's a good question. You need to ask that. The prophecy of Jeremiah. It was nearly time. It's 67 years. There's just 3 years to go. It's time to go back home. This is the end of our captivity. What's going to happen, Lord? This is what your word says. It's soon. Do you understand this morning, you and I living today, the prophecy of the time in which we are now living? Do you not understand by the reading of the Word of God the time in which we are now living? Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. You know. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, that's the coming of the Lord, so comes as a thief in the night when the world is not ready, and the world's not ready for Jesus right now. It's never been a more time unready than now. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains comes upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, Christians, you're not in darkness. You have the word. It's a light unto our path, lamp unto our feet. And so this day, the coming of the Lord, should not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. What he's saying there is don't just get caught up with living with the rest of the world who are going to get caught. Going about their business, jogging, having coffees. As others do. But let us watch and be sober. That watching is pray. Be ready. Be ready. It's close. Jesus is coming. Hebrews 10:25. The writer there says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. That's going to church. But exhorting one another. And so much the more, so there's a rise, there's an increase, as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming. Do you know what the last prayer is in the Bible? Does anyone know what the last prayer is in the Bible? It's the last prayer written in the last chapter of the Bible. Revelation 22:20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. That's what Jesus said. Amen. Then John prays, even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's the last prayer. Written in the Bible. That's the last prayer prayed in the Bible. It's time to be praying this prayer in agreement with John today. Now is the day to choose to pray. You've put it off. But the book says, Daniel read in the book. And I'm telling you from the book. God is speaking to you from the book. It's time for you to pray for the coming of the Lord. Five words. That's how long the prayer is. But with our hearts completely given over to have this prayer answered. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And now the prayer, verse 4. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him, with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those near and those far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. Though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, which God said would happen, the book of Deuteronomy, the servant of God, has been poured out on us. Why? Because we've sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster, captivity in Babylon. For under the whole heaven, such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayers before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. What has to happen to our nation, Australia, before we will turn to God? What calamity has to hit our country before people will turn to God? Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. The prayer is punctuated by Daniel's personal confession. I prayed unto the Lord and made my confession, verse 4. We have sinned, verse 5. But we read of Daniel, he's a godly man. So why is Daniel saying all this? Why did Daniel pray this way? He was a man of God. He had never done anything really wrong. But we all know we sin each day, don't we? We fall short each day. Sins that we actually do and sins, things we sin when we haven't actually done anything, when we should have done something. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that none seek after God. Daniel knew he's a sinner. When you are a man or woman of prayer, the more time you spend with the Lord, the greater you'll understand just who you are without him. If you're a proud person, if you're an arrogant person, I can guarantee you're not a person of prayer. Because each time I kneel before God, I realize as I see him who I am, and the clarity of my spiritual eyes gets clearer and clearer with age. My physical eyes get more blurred with time. But my eyes, as I see myself, as James says, as I see myself, as I look into the Word and I picture myself with God, I see clearer and clearer. I used to think I was a pretty good sinner. You know what I mean? Not really bad. Hadn't killed anyone. But now I continually, even as we're worshiping today, I look at my life and I look back, as we sang in those songs, what happened in the past. I look back and I was a filthy sinner. Because there's no such thing as a good sinner. We're all filthy sinners. Paul said when he looked at his life, we are like those who, and he uses the term of a child coming out who's potty training, and he says, look what I've done. This is the best you can do. And we applaud a child as they first begin to use the potty. He says, this is how good I am. This is my best. It's manure. You see, the more you pray, the more God will tear away the old you, and the more He'll shape you into the image of His Son. The more loving you'll come to your husband. The more gentle you'll be for your wife. And you'll open your mouth less and less and not talk about anyone else, but only to praise them and to honor them. When Isaiah was brought before the throne room of God in Isaiah chapter 6. Now, Isaiah is a prophet. His book, it talks about the Lord dying on the cross and He taking the sins of the world and being beaten, and all those prophecies were given to Isaiah. Look what Isaiah said about himself when he saw the Lord. He says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." He says, "Oh, I'm just a sinner. I deserve nothing." And he laid on the floor, if you remember, in that chapter. No man or woman can have a true concept of themselves until one draws near to God, the Holy God of Israel. It's mirror, mirror on the wall. And then God will reveal to each and every one of us what we're really like. For when we see God for who and what He is, and He's holy, loving, awesome, gentle, patient, and then we see our own hearts for what they truly are in comparison, repentance naturally flows. You can't come to God but through the path of repentance. When we become a person of prayer, we can no longer live or hide who we are before a holy God, what we owe Him, how dependent we are now upon Him, how much we love Him and trust Him, how thankful we'll always be to Him. Now the petition of prayer, verse 15 to 19. "And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, made yourself a name as it is this day, we have sinned." He says it again. "We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant." This is a man praying. This is a man who prayed every day. What is he saying here? He's desperate. He's used to praying, but this is a different time. He knows the time is short. They're about to go home. And he's making sure, "God, you got to listen to me. You got to hear me." He's passionate. "Oh Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. For the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary. Restore us, which is desolate." It's personal to Daniel. This is personal. "Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolation in the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteousness." I don't come to you because I'm a good person, Daniel says. "You're righteous, Lord. But I come to you because I know that you're the God of great mercy. Because of your great mercies. Oh Lord, hear." He says it again. "Listen, Lord. Oh Lord, forgive, please. Oh Lord, listen and act." He says, "Hear me and do something. Do not delay for your own sake. My God, for your city and your people are called by your name." How many of you have loved ones, family and friends, who do not know Christ as their Lord and Savior? Don't put your hand up. All of us do. And don't you, right now, at any moment, when they're in trouble, don't you rush to them when they're in their hour of need? If they're in hospital, if they're without, don't you go to their house? Don't you visit them? Don't you go with them in their time of trouble? Of course you do. You see and be with them when they're in a storm. Illness has struck them down. Listen carefully to Daniel's words, because Daniel is saying, Our friends, our loved ones are in trouble. Yes, we can do practical things. But what Daniel is saying, and God is saying to you and I now, what our friends, our loved ones, our colleagues need is for you to pray like never before for them. Because the time is closing. The time is closing. Listen to Daniel's words as he prays from his heart for those people's souls. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, verse 16, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem. We deserve it. They're living in sin, but Lord, right now, I'm praying for them. Lord, your mercy is what I'm calling for. For the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem, and your people are a reproach. Daniel prays. He intercedes with his heart laid bare before God. He knows judgment and justice are what is deserved. But he calls out to God for God's anger and fury to be turned away. He calls out to God for mercy and forgiveness. Undeserved, yes. But that's what mercy is. He knows God will hear his prayer. Do you know that God is a merciful God and that God doesn't want any of your loved ones to go to judgment? That's why he sent his son. But did you know that the reason you're alive and listening and that you're a Christian, they're not at this moment, and that you're still here, is that you're the one that he wants, that he's calling for you to pray for them. Because God works through people. He doesn't send an angel to knock on their door. He's got you. That's why you're here alive today for them and to fulfill God's work. Lord, please hear the prayer of your servant, Daniel says. Verse 18, O my God, incline your ear and hear. Verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. He repeats his desperate prayer to God. Please let your ears, God, hear my cry. That's prayer. Are you praying all of that for your loved ones? It's time today. From now on. It's not, oh, Lord, I pray for them. I know they don't know you, Lord, please. No. That's not the way it's got to be. Time's short. He repeats his desperate prayer to God. Daniel then wonderfully and truthfully comes before God in this prayer for those he loved. Lord, I'm not praying because I'm anything, but because you're righteous. I know you're merciful. But we pray because of your great mercies. The word mercy occurs 282 times in 269 verses in the Bible. Do you know that God is merciful? You say, well, God's not doing anything for my family. Hang on a minute. He's merciful. He doesn't want judgment on them. He wants you to pray for them, to restore them. That's why he sent his son. He's done all he can do. Now the rest is for you and I to be channels for him to use you. Psalm 5:7, but as for me, I'll come into your house, into the multitude of your mercy. Psalm 6:2, have mercy on me, Lord, for I am weak. Psalm 25:7, according to your mercy, remember me. Don't remember my judgments. Don't remember the sins of my youth. But Lord, remember me in your mercy. Psalm 32:10, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Is that your image of God? You think God's mean, that he's not fair? Because that's wrong. Because that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is he's merciful. I think we are the ones that are unmerciful. I think we are the ones that neglect. I think we are the ones that don't care. I would love to be a child related to Daniel. No, he's praying for me. Daniel hasn't finished. Now his prayer reaches its summit. Daniel is laying bare his soul. He's summoning his whole being in finishing this plea. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen. Act. Don't delay. It's time. It's the 67th year, Lord. You've got to do something now. As the worship team comes forward, we close. We'll wrap this. Try and stay with me. What happens when Daniel is finished praying this prayer? Actually, before he finished his final words, God is answering his prayer. Did you know that's how it works for you and I? Do you know that it's not like, well, I've prayed and I've been waiting years. No, God answers prayer immediately. It's just that often we're not hearing or obeying or doing what he's asked us to do. And while I was speaking, verse 20, and praying and confessing my sin, and the sin of my people Israel, presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God. While I was speaking in prayer, he reminds him. It says it again. Even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision in the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. An angel turns up. It's Gabriel. He appears twice to Daniel. 530 years later, he appears two more times to Zechariah, then to Mary. And it says, and he informed me. What was the answer to this prayer? Daniel says, and he informed me and talked with me and said, Daniel, I am now come forth to give you skill and understanding. What's this got to do with the prayer? You see, Daniel knew it was time to pray this prayer. We're going home. Do you this morning know it is time for you to pray now for your loved ones? For Daniel, the time was short for God's word to be fulfilled. To you, the time is so short. Jesus is coming at any moment. And then it begins. Daniel took God's word literally. Do you? Not like the scoffers Peter said would do in the last days. Daniel believed there would be a literal fulfillment of God's word. Do you this morning believe in a literal rapture? Jesus spoke it. Paul preached it. The Bible's full of it. Do you believe in a literal great tribulation? It's going to happen. Do you believe in a literal heaven? I tell you, John is now in a literal heaven. He believed it. Dying in hospital, he knew he was going to a place. There's a literal hell. That's true too. Daniel believed all those. Daniel realized that the word of God would be fulfilled on the basis of prayer, which is why John prayed, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But why did Gabriel give Daniel skill and understanding? What's that got to do with it? The word skill here means to be prudent, to be circumspect. It means wisely understand. The word understanding means to become intelligent. The Bible says over and over and over, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. He who is wise, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. You see, you have now the wisdom of the word. God has given you the skill and the understanding. There's literally a rapture going to occur soon. There's either heaven or hell. They're two literal real places. There's a literal great tribulation that's going to sweep over this world. I pray this morning that you will pray from today for your loved ones, for your families, like Daniel prayed. And you'll cry out with all your heart. I have brothers that don't know the Lord. I have a brother who's a Jehovah Witness. He's lost. He's deceived and lost. Oh, my friends, we're not here to play church. The church is here to pray for the lost and to share the good news, because the time is short. And Jesus died for each and every one of those whom we love. Let's stop playing worldly games and wasting our time on toys and things. And I pray God will grip your heart. And like a Daniel, you'll cry out to God. You'll say, God, you got to hear me. God, you got to answer me. God, you got to listen to me. God, you got to act now, because the time is short. Heavenly Father, move by your Spirit amongst us. Make us like Daniel. Make this church a place of powerful prayer, that your will be done. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name.